Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Ghost and EncroChat are just two of the encrypted phone networks that have been exposed and shut down by police forces in the last few years. These technologies are central to the operations of criminal gangs, including in Ireland, say Europol. But when they are infiltrated by law enforcement, they give up a treasure trove of information that can be used in prosecutions. Here to tell us how these chat systems work and how important they are to drug gangs is Jan Opgen-Oort, from Head of Corporate Communications at Europol, and Conor Lally, Crime and Security Editor with the Irish Times. Good morning to both of you, gentlemen.
Good morning, sir.
Jan, can I start with you? Explain to us, please, how did EncroChat work? How did Ghost work?
You need to know criminals always need to do things. They need to communicate to each other and they need to reinvest their criminal assets into the legal economy. And those are the two gateways for law enforcement to catch criminals, either to listen to the communication or to follow the money. In the modern world, end-to-end encryption and encrypted platforms offer a great opportunity for criminals to operate on a global level, not only on a national level, but with encrypted phones, criminals can cooperate with other criminal groups from continent to continent. So one strategy of international law enforcement cooperation is to get into those encrypted platforms. The two platforms you mentioned were two of the most famous ones. We also had Sky ECC. There was Matrix, Ghost, EncroChat, Amon, you name it. So the concept is always the same. An encrypted platform is offered that suggests criminals that they can communicate in a 100% secure way. The platform is only marketed to criminals, so you can't buy it on the high street. And criminals use them to communicate worldwide to carry out the criminal activities.
It's not an app, though, like WhatsApp or Signal, end-to-end encrypted. It is a piece of hardware and an entirely distinct operating system.
Yes, so in the past it used to be a real piece of hardware, a real phone that was marketed under the table from criminal to criminal. Sometimes you also needed to have an invitation to be able to buy it. What we see now as a trend is that because of the successes of international law enforcement cooperation to take down those platforms, that criminal networks are now moving to different platforms. So they would fragment their communication, start on one platform, move to another platform, and then maybe end the deal on a third platform, which will make it more difficult for law enforcement to intercept.
But Jan, if these phone systems, these platforms, weren't using the mobile network to avoid being hacked, how did criminals make contact with each other? How did they establish who else was on the platform that they could communicate with?
Well, interestingly, there's one currency which is very important also in the criminal world, which is trust. So criminal networks operate today in, I mean, you can imagine that a criminal network operates like a legal company. So there are different fields of work, different products they have. Maybe they do drug trafficking. Maybe they need some firearms trafficking for the drug trafficking. They need definitely corruption, document fraud, etc. So that's what we call polycriminal. In the end, they have to launder the money. So they also need somebody who reinvests the money in the legal economy, and they need a broker, somebody who is like a handler who gives them a contact. So if you're an organized crime group in Europe and you want to have your piece of the cake of the global cocaine trafficking for Colombia and you don't have any contact, you need one of these handlers, brokers. Mm. So, and this is all based on trust. So names are given, people cooperate, criminals outsource also criminal activity as a service. Because not every group is able to do everything. And then those phones come in. And of course, nobody is operating with a clear name. But interestingly, everything is based on trust, because once you are discredited, okay, Nobody will do business with you anymore.
So obviously there is some honour amongst thieves then. Conor Lally, which of the Irish gangs were using these systems?
Well, I mean, I suppose that's a good question. I mean, in terms of EncroChat, Philip, I suppose one of the tricky things about the Irish end of EncroChat is that, unlike other police forces, the Gardaí didn't really take up the evidence in relation to Irish organised crime and go and act on it straight away. So we saw, for example, with police forces across Europe, the minute they got the EncroChat evidence, they really went in and they did raids. They carried out searches. They found, you know, firearms, drugs and so on. And then they charged people and they came out with press releases and with press conferences saying that they had carried out these operations on the basis of the information that they'd got from EncroChat. The Gardaí didn't handle it in that way. They have basically said, they haven't really said anything publicly about how they handled EncroChat, but privately Gardaí will tell you that they used the information gleaned from about Irish organised crime all over the world to feed into their ongoing operations, and they have essentially used it as intelligence to try and catch these people. So to identify people that they were previously unaware of, and then I guess to get a better handle on the operations of gangs that they were aware of, but they obviously got extra insight into through EncroChat. The Ghost platform is probably slightly different. When that was infiltrated last September, the Gardaí really carried out raids straight away. There were 32 searches carried out in Ireland. There were 4 drugs gangs here using that platform. The Family Gang, which is the largest drugs gang in the country, was up on it. As I say, 32 searches carried out here, drugs valued at well over 10 million seized here. And the interesting thing about Ghost was, while it was actually created in Australia and it was really marketed to organised crime there, so you had about 600 of these handsets being operated as part of the Ghost platform. Roughly 400 of those were being used in Australia and the other 200 overseas. And of those 200, half of them were in Ireland. Mm. So the gangs in Ireland seem to, seem to be very keen to use
very, very platform. Reliant on it, and also obviously very comfortable using it, because they really appear to have let their guard down.
They do. The Ghost platform was actually on the go for almost 10 years, unlike EncroChat, which really only had a run of about 3.5 or 4 years. So if a platform has a record of being in use for almost 10 years and you go up onto it and you're aware of other organised crime gangs who have been using it for some time, I suppose you grow in confidence when you're on it and you perhaps get a bit complacent. And I mean, that was very clear to see when those 32 searches were carried out in Ireland last September. I mean, it led Gardaí directly to where drugs were at that particular time. You know, a very large consignment of cocaine, consignments of cash were seized, cannabis as well. So there was clearly very specific information.
I'm also thinking, though, Conor, of the trial of Thomas Bomber Kavanagh and Liam Byrne when texts were read out before the court.
Yeah, so Thomas Kavanagh had been jailed for 21 years in the UK for drugs trafficking, and what he tried to do with Liam Byrne, his co-conspirator, they tried to hatch a plot to collect up a consignment of firearms. They were effectively going to plant these guns, tell the police where they were, and they were going to hope that Thomas Kavanagh would get some of his sentence shaved off because they'd helped the police in the UK. But obviously this plot was uncovered when the UK police got the EncroChat texts that these gang members had been sending each other. And like Liam Byrne was even referenced to, you know, his name was even referenced during some of that chat. So once the UK police got their hands on that, it was very, very clear that the gang were panicking, they were racing against time, and they had become complacent. And the evidence there was actually clear enough to, you know, really catch all of them and charge all of them.
Mm-hmm. Because one of the texts read, Liam can get Glocks for 3.5K, no nicknames, no code words, just a straightforward implication of a person in trying to procure firearms illegally.
Absolutely. And I mean, there was, you know, very clear evidence as well from those texts that Thomas Bomber Kavanagh was really organising it all from behind bars, and he was very, very keen on putting pressure on these men to get these firearms very quickly.
Jan, have you stats, have you numbers on how many convictions were secured thanks to having sight of all of these text messages? How many organised crime gangs have been broken up or disrupted?
I knew you would ask a question, but it's impossible to say. Just to give you some figures, for EncroChat, there were at least 7,000 arrests globally and at least 1 billion euros seized globally. If you think of Sky ECC, during the live phase, we were reading at least 1 billion messages. And if you think, for example, of Ghost, there were 1,000 messages each day. With a self-destruction button, so probably much more. If you think of Matrix, encrypted platform Matrix, which was disrupted in 2024, there were 2.3 million messages in 33 languages globally. So the figures show that it's an amazingly huge global network of endless criminal networks cooperating, working hand in glove within the criminal endeavors. And there are also countless spin-off operations. Just in March, there was an arrest of an Irish criminal network with data from Ghost, for example. This month, we had arrests with Turkish groups in Operation Bulut with criminal intelligence from Sky ECC and Ghost. So the spin-off operations are also countless, and those intelligence, this criminal intelligence we received from all the different platforms is still giving us operational leads and takedowns.
It's a boon, obviously, for prosecutors or anybody trying to put together a case against criminals in court. But I'm sure that people at the enforcement end would much rather that they didn't have these tools to make their job easier. So the FBI went about setting up and persuading criminals to use their own messaging service. Tell us about that
Precisely.
One, Jan.
You're speaking about the encrypted network called Anom.
Yes.
Run under the operational name Trojan Shield at Europol or Green Light in Australia. So the FBI created like a covert operation. They created an encrypted platform, which was run by them and was marketed to criminals only. Because, as said, criminals need to communicate. And because we are all also children of our time, we are used to our phones, we are used to using messenger services, we are used to have a quick message sent to a different continent or somebody in a different country. So as it was said already today, they become also complacent. It's so easy. It makes them also greedy. They can just send a message to Colombia. They can send a message to US, Australia in a second and ask, well, send me the evidence in 1 hour back. If they have, for example, contract killing, they can say, send me a picture once the job is done back. So it just makes it so easy and they become complacent. So to create a covert encrypted network, which is run from and designed by law enforcement, is a very smart move. And this was Operation Trojan Shield for Anom.
Connor, what is the consequence of Ghost and EncroChat being shut down? Is there a new version that pops up straight away to replace it? Or are, do you think, criminals just wary about using any of these platforms now?
Well, I suppose when you look at the EncroChat, I mean, the sheer scale of it, there was 60,000 users on EncroChat when it was infiltrated back in March, June 2020. The Ghost platform was much smaller. But, I mean, as we've been speaking about, I mean, even relatively small Irish drugs gangs will have, you know, co-conspirators, suppliers and so on really in places all over the world. So they have to speak to each other. I mean, the Kinahan cartel is obviously one that we speak about. It has a headquarter in Dubai. It is part of a European super cartel that controls about one third of the cocaine market in Europe. So if you're involved in an operation of that scale, you have to speak to people all the time. As these platforms are closed down, other services will become popular. They will be using other services now that we probably haven't heard of, and that will probably be infiltrated in time. But certainly these very high profile examples of EncroChat and Ghost being infiltrated, they will be a warning shot to organised crime that you can think that you're operating in privacy and that these services are unhackable and that you're paying a premium for them. But once they are operating for a period of time, really law enforcement internationally will just work away and try to infiltrate these platforms. And I think gangs will be wary, but ultimately they need to speak to each other all over the world in real time every day. And that's a weakness. And they have to find a way of keeping that conversation flowing in order to keep the firearms and the drugs, you know, flowing all over the world, basically.
Conor Ali, Crime and Security Editor of the Irish Times, and Jan Opgenoort, Head of Corporate Communications at Europol. Thank you both very much.